This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Hallelujah. If you are asleep, good. Wake up, wake up. We go to the second consideration in training in faithfulness. The Lord Jesus says, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will give you true riches? The use of money. Money. According to the Lord Jesus, how men use money determine whether God will entrust to them ministries. Why should God give you human beings? That will be your crown in heaven when you cannot use earthly wealth for eternity. Why? Souls will be your crown in heaven. Those are true riches. And the Lord says that the pathway to having true riches, that is riches that last, eternal riches, eternal impact, eternal reward, depends on how you use money. How have you used all the money that has gotten into your hands since you started using money? If we were in Cameroon, I'll give you an account of all the money that has entered my hands since 1987. And what has been used, what I've used the money for. I have my personal account book for finances upstairs since I became a leader. The money that has come into my hands for personal use and what I did with it. Last year, God gave me a lot of money through the kind gifts of the brethren. When I became a leader, I told myself, Brazak as a leader poured in 90%, sometimes 100% of all his income. If the next leader comes and begins to become one who eats up all the money that we have been laying up, then we have really lost the ministry. I decided I will use no money from the ministry. I'll take no allowance. Neither housing allowance, no food allowance, no transport allowance, no whatever salary. I will take nothing. Please don't get it wrong. I'm not starting that kind of life as a leader. Started it long ago. As a missionary in Nigeria, the ministry sent us an allowance. My wife and I, we gave 80% of the money that we received as allowance for the work of God, and we used 20% for crisis expenditure, like the school fees of our daughter, and we lived day to day on some cottage industry that my wife was doing, making plantain chips. Last year, some of you here have been very kind to me. Some of you here have sent me personal gifts. Total amount that I received last year for myself came up to about 29 million. CFA. We gave 18 million to the gospel. I spent 6 million on the brethren for leadership. So I can tell you what came in. I can tell you what it was used for. All leadership must prepare to give an account of personal funds and public funds. We cannot bypass the money question. I was telling Brazak's old friends, the Smiths, I told them, last year, the total income that came into the ministry was slightly over 600 million. The missionary allowances over that period was over 400 million. And we owed allowances to missionaries. We did not give a great number of missionaries the last installment of their allowances for last year. At the beginning of this year, we had 30 million that Razak had kept in reserves. I called all the vice presidents and I told them we would take a risk. We exhausted all our reserves in order to get the missionaries take off for year 2011. Where has the money gone to? The monies that God gave to you, where are they? In England, recently, Philip will be hearing this for the first time. After ministering, I just came in from England. The total amount that you and your friends and your lovers gave me, separately, when we go up, I'll show you. It came up to £890. I spent on your people as a leader in a small way £160. The rest is still in my pocket. Don't come and steal in my room. And from that £890, I will give £400 towards the gospel. What I give to the brethren, I don't consider it giving to God. It is giving as a leader. That is leadership giving. Giving to God is what leaves my pockets, enters the treasury of the ministry, to be used along the lines defined for the goal. That is giving to God. What I get out of my pocket and give a brother in need, is leadership. God likes it, but that is not given to God. I will be rewarded for it, but that is not given to God. In giving to God, the money must get into the treasury of God. Bring all the tithes and offerings into my storehouse. All giving to God gets into God's storehouse. Whether you are a leader or not, the leader is not God's storehouse. The money must get into God's storehouse and be used accountably. Because there have been a lot of speculations and a lot of gossip and slander about money in our ministry. I call the vice presidents with the treasurers that Brazak left, and I demanded an audit of the ministry for the last 10 years. So that there should be a report for anybody who truly wants information. As for those who enjoy gossip, go ahead, hear all the gossip you can, and enjoy it. But for those who truly want information, I asked the vice president to prepare a report, an audit of the last 10 years, financially of our ministry, so that those who hear lies if they care about the truth, they can get a report. And I wrote a letter to all the missionaries, and I told all the missionaries, if any of them will send me a report of the finances of their work, I will send them the report of the finances of the entire work. If you send me the report of the finances of the work in Durham, and you ask for the report of the finances of the whole ministry, you will get it. Because men who are not accountable about what has gotten into their hands have no sincerity in inquiring about what is happening to the overall finances. They're just politicians looking for black files to create impeachment conditions. And those are not sincere people. But if you want an account of the finances, you can have it. But I must be convinced that you are sincere in being interested in the financial well-being of the ministry. There is no room for curious and for ungodly curiosity. No room for such. Your personal finances, what have you done with them? One of the kindest people to me since I became a leader is inside this room. Almost every month he has sent me a gift, a personal gift. And it has been great comfort in a dark season. If you have been faithful, I did not start it as a leader. Come to Yaoundé, if you ask me, up there I will give you from 2009, since I became a leader. If you care, come and see it up there. But if you come to Cameroon, I will give you my account since 1987. The money that God has given to me, some months in 1987, all the money I ever got into my hands was 5,000 francs CFA. But I have a record of how it came and what I used it for. And at the end of each month, I thank God for what came. I give him a report. I sign my financial report. And I kneel down to thank the God of heaven for trusting me with the stewardship of that amount for that month. What have you done with your money? Everybody's goal, every church's vision is reflected in the budget of that person and of that church. The budget of your church reveals the vision of your church. And if you are Christian Missionary Fellowship International, if you are missionary, then it means the other lands, the other places, have a greater priority than your local needs. If not, the missionary you claim is a lie. You are a bearer of false testimony. If we are a fellowship, it means you carry the burden of the overall work, as well as carrying our common success. If you are individualistic, you are bearing false testimony. Does your budget show that you are a missionary? That you are a missionary community? Are the needs of the other lands a priority? And does it reflect in your budget? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God spent his own treasure in his own vision. And God's vision was a global vision. God invested what he had into the conquest of the world. God invested what he had into the conquest of the world. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, may be made rich What is grace? It is giving your wealth so that those who are poor may enter the wealth of eternal life. That is the gospel. Grace is spending on the gospel. And anyone who does not spend on the gospel has no understanding of the grace of God. His understanding of grace is licentiousness. What is grace? Grace is voluntary impoverishment, that others may hear the gospel and be saved. Short of that, your theology of grace is licentiousness. You are a Hindu or you are a Buddhist under the sobriquet of Christianity. It boils down to money. Where has your money gone to? There was a 19-year-old guy, and a missionary came to their church and spoke about China. And that day, the mother had given him some amount of money to spend on ice cream after church service. No, he was not 19. He was 9 years old at the time. No. 9 or 7. Forgive me. I don't. My facts are not. My memory is not too. Either 7 years old or 9 years old. And the missionary spoke about the needs of China, about the perishing souls, about the millions of China dropping into hell. And he asked for an offering. And this guy began to gamble between the souls of the Chinese and the ice cream after the church. Ice cream. Ice cream, China. Ice cream, China. China, ice cream. China, China. Ice cream. And finally, China won. He carried all his offering and gave to that missionary. At the age of 19, he led 700 families to Christ in Canada and went off as a missionary to China. That's the story of Jonathan Goforth. It started with giving all his ice cream money to the cause of the gospel. And where your treasure is, there will your soul, your heart be. Nobody is a missionary who doesn't give to missions. Your vision, your burden reflects in your budget. Every month, I evaluate what I've given to the gospel. I evaluate what I've given to the brethren. That is the index of my faithfulness as a leader. And then I evaluate what I've spent on my family, so that I may not be one who has renounced the gospel. And then I save some money for bad days. A leader who does not save is planning to be a scavenger upon the churches that he leads. What has happened to the money? Whether great amounts or small amounts, where did it go to? You choose where your money goes to. That's faithfulness. You choose where your money goes to. And you invest where God invested, into the salvation of the world. For God so loved the world. And when I was young, Brazard used to teach us that, and he told us, look through your budget. The greatest amount is your true God. Where you have spent the most in your budget, that is your true God. If more money was spent on you and on your family, your God is the belly. As Philippians says, your end is destruction. Look at the budget of your church. If the local needs and the overheads occupy a greater percentage of your expenditure, you are not a Christian church. You are a religious organization. In the Nazarene missions, there is a policy that overheads must never exceed 25% of the total income, because 75% must go directly into supporting the gospel and the preaching of the gospel as a policy. When a local church has no policy for finances to protect the investment, at the Southern Baptist Convention in America, after a study, a survey of 15,126 congregations established that no church can support a full-time pastor until the numbers get to over 350. If they are going to protect the giving to missions and the giving to the gospel. Because no church should get into the support of a local pastor at the expense of giving to missions. That is the policy of the Southern Baptist Convention in America. What has happened? Our churches, our Christian missionary churches, Brazak allowed us to be led by the Holy Spirit, and there has been a lot of financial disorder and a lot of financial dishonesty. That's one reason why the churches are not growing. God does not give souls where money was not well spent. He doesn't. Who will give you true riches if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon? Who? I've been very troubled as a leader about people's attitude towards money. The people who have been most anxious to know the finances of the ministry, and the people who have been most loquacious in talking about the finances of the ministry, are those who are the least committed to giving to the ministry. It has become a phenomenon. Recently, about 7 missionaries in our ministry wrote back to me. They told me, the God of heaven has been good to us. He has been faithful to us. He has provided for us. Brazak's going to glory is a maturation phase. Cease sending us allowances so that we can continue to send others. 7 missionaries have written to relinquish their normal allowances so that we can move one step further to conquer the world. When Brazak was going, 30 minutes before he died, he phoned me in Nigeria. And he told me the prince and the host of wickedness have been bound. And he told me, get 10 missionaries into northern Nigeria. I'll pay for them personally. 30 minutes later, he was gone. And I told myself, he has gone. I'll make sure I carry out at least that last behest at my expense. I am training 7 couples presently in Betwa I'll send them to northern Nigeria, and I'll pay their allowances from all that God gives to me personally. And I've told them they have a maximum of 3 years to become financially self-supporting. I will take no money for their allowances from the ministry. What God wants done can be done, will be done, must be done. Recently, there was a young missionary couple. They wrote an application that they want to go as missionaries. I told them, fine. We have not paid all the allowances of all the other missionaries. There's no money to recruit new missionaries and send them. You want to go as a missionary? You come and show me 7 million CFA that you have saved to pay your way and to survive initially. You will give God an allowance to go as a missionary. He and his wife, they embraced me. I'm looking for a new breed of missionaries, not mercenaries. I'm looking for those. We're talking about apostles. The Corinthians told Paul that they don't believe he's a true apostle. He doesn't talk as eloquently as Apollos. He doesn't perform the miracles of Peter. And they told him, look, Mr. Paul, in Jerusalem, a true apostle, when Ananias and Sapphira lied, he just killed them. You. People sleep with their father's wives in the church. And when they write to you, you write long letters. And you tell us how you are crying. You are not a true apostle. True apostles, they kill sinners in the church. You cry long tears and write long letters. It's because you are not a true apostle. And the apostle Paul told them, look guys, I am a true apostle. You are the testimony that I am an apostle. Secondly, all those your other super apostles that you are boasting about, are they Jews? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? He says, I may be boasting a little too much. I'm a better one. I've suffered more than them all. I've worked harder than them all. It has cost me more than them all. And then he comes back and says, ultimately, the test of the true apostle. I have not taken your money. The test of apostleship, the acid test of apostleship is money. Money. It's not charisma. It's not great gifts. It's money. The apostle serves with great sacrifices. The apostle serves with great sacrifices. We need a new brand of missionaries. Those who pay God a salary for the privilege of serving Him. If you are one, send in your application. No matter how old you are. Glory be to God. And so the work will continue. Whether the finances are low or insufficient, the work will go on. The world will be conquered. The job will be done. And money will not be a limitation. Why? There will just be greater sacrifices. I told the brethren in Betwa, the money is finished. Babies go home. Men come on board. Let's do the job. Hallelujah. There's no money to take care of babies. It's time for the men to come out. I hope you are one. There's no time, no money to buy milk. Baby, stay home with your mothers. Let the man emerge and get the job done. It will be a great day. We have a young missionary couple in Sudan. In 1 year, they went from 150 members to over 1,000 members in southern Sudan. And a young couple wrote to me and told me, "We don't want an allowance. My wife is a medical doctor. Send us just 4 million for us to raise the walls of a building. We'll start a medical practice and we sink or we swim." They will swim. They will swim. What have you done with your money? Why should God give you a big ministry when He doesn't see what you have done with your money? Why should God give you true riches, eternal souls, the destinies of multitudes to handle when you can't even handle the money He gave you? If you cannot channel money, should God hand over to you the destinies of many? He will be an irresponsible God to entrust you with the destinies of money when you are not fundamentally trustworthy in the management of money. Over the years, Brother Zach has taught us a financial formula. It is called joy. Jesus first, others next, you last. It's called joy. Who has ever heard that financial formula? It is called the joy formula. Jesus first, others next, you last. If you have not been faithful in money, you forfeit the right to true riches. Force God to give you souls. Force God to give you large numbers of people to lead. How? Let God see what you have done with money. We don't have time. Our teaching is not about finances. Someday we are going to teach on financial stewardship. But Zach was to write 12 books on money. By God's mercy, we will get those books written. There's only one of them that I cannot write, because I have no experience about it. It is receiving supernatural money from the bank of heaven. I can't write that. I have no experience of it. But I can write about giving by faith. I can write the other experiences that God has taught us over the years. What has happened to your money? Where is the gospel? For those of you who are members of our ministry, what does your commitment resolve itself to if it doesn't come down to money? What is membership in a family if it doesn't come down to sharing responsibility? What does it mean to be a co-worker if it doesn't come down to carrying the same burden? So there are multitudes who have a form of religion and they deny the power of it. Their commitments have no bite. Their professions have no responsibility. It's all just a farce. There is insincerity written all over. Deep insincerity. Many of you here are my co-workers. How do you think we have been surviving since Brother Zach went to be with the Lord? Maybe you run to the rescue of our ministry when it is all sunk and finished. How do you think we have been floating? There was a friend of Brazak. One night, he told me he had a dream. God appeared to him and told him that there are plans to sabotage the ministry of his friend by cutting off financial supply. And the Lord told him, you answer those plans of the devil. He got up in the night, the next morning, he went to his bank account, emptied it, and brought me 40 million CFA. Do men empty their accounts and give 40 million? He must have heard God, because Cameroonians don't part with 40 million. Many don't even have it. That's what has kept us going. Some whose loyalty to Brazak predisposes them to hear God at a critical hour, to make a contribution when it counts. They carry out their arguments about continuity by action. Not by idle words that cost nothing. How did you think we were going on? I've heard all kinds of wonderful rumors about the ministry, about finances, and I don't want to get into them. But if you ever get curious enough about the finances of the ministry, right, you'll be given an account. It is your right to know if your commitment is clear. But I don't carry the accounts of my family to declare to every Tom and Harry that passes by. In the same way, we cannot give accounts to strangers who have no stake in whether it works or it doesn't work. I am saying your personal and private finances and the finances of the young churches you are leading, where is it going to and what is happening to it? Is a missionary written all over your budget? Is a missionary written into the budget of the local churches that you lead? The funds that are generated within the vision of Zakwamum and that pass through your hands, do they get into the vision of Zakwamum? Or they get into the building of local structures to establish your own hegemony? There are many Judas Iscariots. Those who collect funds always find a way of stealing them and developing new burdens for the poor. Many thieves become very religious in suggesting the use of church money. That is the story of Judas Iscariot. Are you one? What has happened to the money? What is happening to the money? If you have not been faithful in a little, who will give you much? And if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon,
who shall entrust to you true riches?
Do you want to have many souls, many churches planted, great reward on that day, and a crown glittering round your head that you will lay at the feet of Jesus as your act of worship? Start. And start by taking every dollar that gets into your hands seriously. The Bible says, make friends in the eternal habitations with unrighteous mammon, so that when money fails, those friends may welcome you into those eternal habitations. How many friends have you made in heaven by your money, so that when money will no longer be useful, those friends can welcome you into heaven? You may end up living in heaven as a lonely witch because you sent nobody there through your money. Who will welcome you there? Maybe the day you are going to heaven, only the angels will welcome you with trumpet blast, but you have no comfort of recognizing anybody. There's an old song. I've forgotten the music. It talks about going to heaven, and all those that you had given money for the missionary, this thing, they come around to welcome you. I was glad you gave. I'm a lost soul that was saved because you gave. Money is spiritual. There are over 700 verses about prayer in the New Testament. Is prayer spiritual? Hey, brethren, is prayer spiritual? All right. Over 700 verses about prayer in the New Testament. And over 2,000 verses in the New Testament about money. Money is more spiritual in terms of the attention given to it in the New Testament more than prayer. Almost 3 times more attention given to money in the New Testament than to prayer. Get it right with money, or you've got it wrong everywhere else. And most of all the statements about money in the New Testament were made by Jesus. He seemed to have taught so much about money. So much. That's the second school where we learn faithfulness. Faithfulness in small things, faithfulness in money. That unrighteous mammon, and God says, use it well, use it well. And if you do, it will pay eternal dividends. You are free to bury everything into your stomach and go to the toilet and pour out your dollars there. Every day you go to the toilet, you are pouring out the dollars you put into your stomach. It is a banking system where maggots are the clerks. They sit over your investments, and it's a bank that pays no dividends because America has not started using human waste for fertilizers. Only China does. So, what you pour into the toilet is total waste. Not even the advantage of making corn grow. How much dollars and how many dollars have you poured into the toilet? through ice cream, through Diet Coke. Those are dollars going to the toilets. Huh? Yeah, and you pay for the treatment of the sewage. What a waste. What you give to the gospel may end up being the only wealth you ever truly have. It will build your eternal habitation. It will produce the friends that welcome you into heaven. And it will constitute the premise on which God promotes you. Why not use it? We don't give to God so that you can multiply it and give it back to us. That's very elementary. And it is a motivation that's very low. The higher motivations, so that God may trust you. We give so that the Heavenly Father can trust you. Can God trust you? The monies that got into you, destined for God and for our vision, has it gotten to the vision? If not, in French they say, détournement. Embezzlement. You have embezzled the money that was raised for the vision into the building of a name for yourself. So you become a big leader locally while the vision shrinks globally. Parasites. Parasites grow on the same tree at the expense of the tree. Parasitical missionaries. They draw from the tree while remaining independent in their nature. Who feels like giving me a good slap? If you don't slap me, then you better slap yourself and get out of being unfaithful. God is not arbitrary in his promotions. He has clear parameters of evaluation. One of them, how you've used the money he gave you until today. Where is it? Buried in the toilet? Or stored up in heaven through the gospel? Where is yours? Or you have saved it all in gadgets? Many gadgets, big gadgets. The Secretariat of Heaven doesn't need our computers. There is a whole department there, and big mighty angels called the Watchers that give an account of all the actions of every man. I don't know what chips they use, but Nebuchadnezzar came across some of them and he became a mad beast. Don't be too glad about your earthly gadgets and computers. Befriend the Watchers of Heaven. If not, you may grow long beard and fingers and nails like claws of eagles. I'd like some to thank God for blessing each one of us with enough money to make our destiny. There's no one person here whom God has not given sufficient money to define his character. Many years ago, the Lord told me, money is a window into the soul, even of children. Give a child $5 and you will know the child. Money is the closest thing to the Holy Spirit. Money works like the Holy Spirit. You can never get $100 into your pocket without hearing a voice of how to use it. Try it. Money speaks. If you don't know how the Holy Spirit speaks, just get $1,000 and see what happens to you. That's how the Holy Spirit talks. You get it? That's how the Holy Spirit leads. Money and the Holy Spirit speak to the human being in almost the same manner. Money is the mammon spirit. And the Holy Spirit from God is the Holy Spirit. They inspire us to do things in almost the same way. So if you don't know how to hear the voice of God, learn how to hear when money is speaking. If you have ever got $10 and you did not know what to do with it, please come and give me. Every dollar that enters your hands, it tells you what to do with it. Is that true? Brethren, does your own money speak? Well, even if you all look down and look very spiritual, I know your money speaks. And it speaks very loud. And there is never any confusion in the language and the literature of money. There are no words there that are difficult for your dictionary to understand. Money speaks. If it is $1,000 we gave you this night, this very moment, while you are sitting inside this church, in spite of this environment, the money will speak. That's how the Holy Ghost speaks. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that's how He controls you. In the same effortless way in which money inspires you. Some of you can kill me with your eyes. Now stand up and pray. That will be faithful in the use of the unrighteous mammon. If God has given you much, what did you do? If He gave you little, but God has given each one of us enough to write our spiritual biography. God gives everybody enough to write his spiritual biography. If some pray, would have graduated from class 2 in the elementary testings of faithfulness.
The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for speaking to me about the issues of money. Lord, I do confess that I give. But Lord, I don't use the rest that I have in a way that pleases you. Oh, I'm not really accountable. Lord, I beg you, help me to be accountable, to write down the monies I spend, the money I give out, and how I use the money you bless me with, Lord. I want to confess that I have been blessed, but Lord, I have not used the money to reflect my blessings. Help me, O God, to watch the way I spend the money you bless me with. Help me to channel all the money that you bless me with into the ways that will proclaim the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I pray, Lord, that you will help me to develop the discipline of keeping personal financial accounts. Lord, that I may be able to report to you, Lord, at the end of every month what is it that I have done with the money that is left over after I give to you? But I confess that I have hardly done this in the past, Lord. But Lord, as Brother Zach taught us, Lord, that we should face those things now as opposed to face the accounts on that day. Father, I pray that I will keep the accounts, Lord, and do it regularly. Father, I pray that it will become second nature, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you once again for your word. I thank you because I'm so blessed tonight by what you're teaching me. Once again, you've given me a great gift, which is money. And I must confess to you tonight that that money has always spoken to me very loudly and clear. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I pray, Father, that you break loose every fear and every doubt and allow me to do exactly what you want me to do with the money you give me. Father, I know that that money does not belong to me, but to you. And I pray that you continue to teach me. And teach me to listen, and listen well, and do your will, and your will only, not mine. Thank you so much for all your blessing and for the light. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Oh, Father, praise your name, because indeed you are a good God. You are a merciful God. I thank you, Lord, because you have blessed me, Lord. You've blessed me and my family, Lord. Enough. More than enough financially, Lord. Oh, Lord, I want to confess that I have thought so far that I've been doing very well in managing my finances, but I have to confront now the fact that I've been a money squanderer, Lord. I've been a money squanderer. And I'm pleading for your forgiveness, Lord. I'm pleading for your forgiveness, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will teach me, Lord, how to better manage my finances, Lord. Oh, Lord, that I will better manage my finances, Lord, by investing more and more in heaven, Lord, by investing more and more in the cause of the gospel, Lord. And what is left for personal use, that I should be able to give an account of how it was used, Lord. That I should be able to give an account of how it was used. Oh, Father, grant me the grace to be faithful in the way I manage my finances, Lord. Grant me the grace, Lord, to be faithful in the way that I manage the finances that you entrust to me, Lord. I need your help, Lord. I need your help. I need your mercy, Lord. I need your mercy, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, and save me, Lord, from disastrous financial management, Lord. Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for the stewardship that you have called us to. Lord God, we pray tonight that as we have stored up money in our storehouses, that you will give us an ear to hear where the Spirit of the Lord is directing us to give this money to. Lord, I thank you that early on you have made me a wise steward of money. And you have allowed me, Father, to understand early on, Father, that all that you allow to flow into my household through work and through other means, Lord, I have not gone out and squandered, but I have held that resource in the storehouse until the Spirit of the Lord speaks where it is that it should be contributed. But now, Lord God, I'm asking you, Lord God, that as we are standing here tonight, Lord, that the voice of the Holy Spirit will give us sources where we can pulse these resources, that it will have an eternal effect. Lord, we pray for everyone who we have given resources to, Lord, that they will take the resources that we have given them and support the men and the women of God who are on the front lines of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we will sponsor men and women who will give their lives 100% day in and day out to distributing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that men may be built up in the faith, that women will be built up in the faith, that converts will be made, Father, not just in this land, but across the globe. Lord, I pray, God, Father, that the monies that we give will stretch further even than we can imagine, and Father, will reach the needs of the people, not just, Father, on a material basis, but in a spiritual way, Father, that the gospel will be disseminated. Lord, that there will be translators, Lord, who will translate the word into the language of the people, that they may have Bibles in their own native tongue. Lord, we pray, God, that the gospel will be preached, Father God, that we may hasten the coming of the Lord. Father, that you will sanctify all that you have given us as we give it back to you. Lord God, I pray, God, tonight, Lord, that the words that our brother has delivered to us in regard to our financial resources, Father, will not just be heard tonight, but those words will be savored and meditated and thought upon. And every time, Lord God, you give us a windfall, every time you give us even a small increase, Lord, that increase will go into the mission and into the house of the Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, God, that you're opening up the eyes of men and women that they may understand, Lord God, that you have given increase, not that we may profit in our own material ways, that things that are passing away, but Lord God will take the increase and invest it into eternal things, Lord God, that there may be a harvest and a reward that we will reap when we stand before you on the day, oh God, when we have to give account. Lord, now sanctify every offering, God, that we have given, that we will give in the future. And Lord God, may it be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. May it be used to reach the unreachable. May it be used to strengthen the cause and the mission and the vision that has been given in this house tonight. And we ask these things in your Son Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We bless your holy name. For Lord Jesus, we realize, Lord, that everything we have comes from you, and it is from your goodness that you have given to us, Lord. Heavenly Father, it is because you have given us health that we've been able to go out to work. You have given us the intelligence to study and acquire the qualifications which have enabled us to get good jobs. Lord, we are not worthy. It is your goodness, and we acknowledge that it is from you and your goodness alone, Lord. Lord, I remember Brother Zach used to say, the money that you give is directly proportional to the consecration of the life that gives it. Father, we ask you this evening that as we surrender ourselves, Lord, our lives will be well-pleasing and acceptable to you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that you would teach us how to spend every pie of the money that you give us, Lord Jesus, that we may hear clearly where you want us to give. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you would take what we give you in obedience to your word. Lord Jesus, that you will take it, you will bless it, you will multiply it. Lord, that the whatever we give you, Lord Jesus, its effect will have eternal consequences in the kingdom, in the nature of the souls who are saved. Father, do this in each one of our lives, Father, for we want to live for you, and we say that everything we have comes from you, belongs to you, Lord. Be thou honored, be thou glorified, be thou exalted in our lives, Father. For we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.